Well, if you have ever tried to play Jenga, or you've ever tried to make a sandcastle, you've created a Lego fortress, or you've attempted to kind of maneuver your way around a game of Twister, you know that having a solid foundation is essential to staying upright. And the same goes for bridge building, building bridges of love that lead to life. And if we as individuals and we as a church want to be successful in building bridges of love that lead to life, it's essential that we have a solid, spiritually formed foundation. Because a step across this bridge behind me here, the bridge that we're saying kind of represents our lives, it's not just a normal, everyday step. It's an intentional step into God's story, a step into the upside-down kingdom. And for us to walk within the upside-down kingdom and invite others into the kingdom with us, our foundation needs to be solid, needs to be firmly rooted. And I love the song that we sang a few moments ago, Build My Life. When we kind of went through the Sermon on the Mount as a youth group, that was a song we came back to every week throughout that series. But some of the lyrics, I will build my life upon your love, is a firm foundation. I will put my trust in you alone, and I will not be shaken. So God, open up my eyes in wonder. Show me who you are. Fill me with your heart. Lead me in your love to those around me. And yeah, I think if we're honest with ourselves, this sounds great and it sounds exciting, but there's also feelings of apprehension and anxiety wrapped up into it. We can sort of feel kind of like a puzzle, right? You can feel like a puzzle. And where some of the pieces are together, but yet there's some pockets there where pieces are missing. And we can see the complete picture. We know what it's supposed to look like, but sometimes we don't know how to get from here to here, especially if there's a lot of pieces missing. Or sometimes we think we know how to put the puzzle together. And you know, this is a 1,000-piece puzzle, and sometimes you know we're like, okay, I've studied it for 2 minutes, don't need this anymore. I can do it. I'm good. And we labor and labor trying to fit all the pieces together. We try to force them in there where we think they're going to fit best. So when I was working on this, there was a few times where that happened. Like, this has to go there. It makes sense nowhere else. And yet, all the time, we have this guide next to us. We're like, you know what? I've studied it. I've looked at it. I don't need it. I'm gonna try it on my own. We neglect to consult it. We neglect to study it and know it deeply, to know like, oh, this is where this shade of blue goes. This is where that shade of pink, this is where this brick pattern goes or that rock formation goes. I think sometimes Maria thinks I'm really weird because after like an hour of working on a puzzle, I don't need to because I've studied it, I've known it, and so I can pick up a piece and just put it in and put it in and put it in. But knowing God's story is the same thing. We maybe do our verse of the day, and that's not a bad thing, but it's incomplete. Or we read some of it once or twice 25 years ago, and then we try to model our life off of that deep, intimate knowledge. And then we go and tell people what's really in there. But do we really know? I mean, do we really know what's written in the pages of this story? God's story. Is the story shaping our lives, or like trying to fit the pieces in where they don't belong? Are we trying to force our lives into the story? Are we trying to shape the story and make the story fit our lives into what we think is right or wrong? And so over the next year, we're going to zero in on some topics, some building blocks, some puzzle pieces, if you will, that we feel as a church are essential to stepping into God's story and allowing God's story to become our story. And it's our hope, it's our goal that as we step deeper into God's story, our foundation strengthens individually, but also corporately as a church. And the puzzle that once had missing pieces begins to get filled in. And so we have topics like knowing, if we go here, going to have you do that, James, as we go one piece at a time. Like knowing God's story. knowing God's heart. Knowing and living God's heart, knowing and living God's story, living on mission. Maybe it's how to become wise stewards of our time, of our finances, of our resources, of God's creation. Or sometimes it's, you know, we're going to spend time knowing this is us. This is who we are as the Nazarene church. This is what we believe as Nazarenes and Wesleyans. And we're going to spend some time wrestling through the tough questions in life, because we all have tough questions, questions we don't know how to answer, and we want to walk through that together. And so each building block, let's see if you can pull up the picture of the whole puzzle there. Each building block is going to be offered over the course of 3 weeks. And if you didn't catch them there, they're on the back of the bookmark you just received, or on the front of it. But we know that life is crazy. We know that life is busy. And so we want to provide these building blocks without adding one more thing onto the schedule. And so our building block sessions are going to be on Sunday mornings at 9:30. And if you're a parent like myself, that's a great opportunity to have the building blocks built in your kids' lives, because we have Sunday school opportunities at that time as well. And the great part about it is you can come at 9:30 and then directly apply it in service at 11 o'clock. And our first building block is going to begin 2 weeks from today with a focus on knowing and living God's story, stepping into God's story, and how to read the Bible well. Because we know that whether you've been a part of our church for 2 decades or 2 months or 42 minutes, you won't want to miss this. Because I know that every single one of us has questions. Questions when we read and we try to know and understand the Bible. I have questions when I open this up. I think it's, if we don't have questions, we need to ask ourselves why we don't have questions. But, you know, so for me too, it's joining in and say, how can I better know this story? There's a lot in there. And so we're going to dive a little deeper into the themes and genres, the nuts and bolts that flow throughout the Bible. And as we better know God's story, we can more readily live God's story and step into God's story every day. And I guess why I'm passionate about this is because, you know, when I scroll through Facebook or Instagram or check out the news on Twitter, when I listen to our conversations here in the hallways at my track and cross-country practices, I see a lot of hurt and pain and brokenness, and I hear this need for a story to belong to, a role to step into. And all along, God is here inviting us to step into his story, and it's right here. It's right here, and it's right here all around us. We are a part of that story, but it takes that extra effort. And I know I'm guilty, you know, just going home late at night, get home, it's 7, 8 o'clock. I just need to turn on the TV for a few hours. Or we can busy ourselves, sports, vacations, we can fade away into our phones. And I don't say this as somebody who's got it all together. I don't. But I know that when I look at my 3 kids, I want them to be agents of hope and light and goodness and redemption and reconciliation in a world that desperately needs it. And I know that I need to be active and intentional in their lives to help them see the story and to step into the story. And it's hard for me to invite them to step into the story if I haven't stepped into the story. I was drawn back to a verse from John's gospel. It's at the very beginning, and John is kind of announcing Jesus as he's introducing him and introducing us to Jesus. And he says that through Jesus, everything has been made. Without him, nothing has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness. The darkness has not overcome it. And Jesus himself refers to himself as the light of the world, that whoever follows him will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. So this story that we step into is a story that shines light into the dark places of our lives and the dark places of our world. It's a story of hope, a story of good news. The good news that we bear the image of the living God, the God who has redeemed us through his great grace And this God invites us to join him in his restoration of making all things new. And so, church, on Vision Sunday 2019, I want to ask you and challenge you to join me in the coming year to take this step into God's story. And so if you're interested about how to read the Bible well building block is, I'm kind of behind Art there in the back. Come find me over there after service. We have a sign-up sheet, and I can help answer any questions you have. So thank you. At this time, I'd like to invite Jody Lehner up. She's going to share with us what it looks like to step into the heart of God this next year.
Like this, I definitely need to pray, just like that song was saying. This is not something that I enjoy doing, speaking in front of groups, but I feel that God wants us to step into his heart through prayer, so I'm willing to speak on this today. And over the next year, we want to focus on our entire congregation stepping into God's heart through prayer. What better way to connect with God than by one-on-one communication with our Creator, who longs to have a personal relationship with us. As Pastor Joe already mentioned, we want to focus on building a strong foundation through the disciplines of Bible reading and prayer. Just as a building easily crumbles without a firm foundation, it's easy for us to crumble under the pressures of this life if we don't purposefully maintain and reinforce our foundation. Jesus said in John 15:4-5, "Remain in me and I will remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. If a man remains in me, and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing." Just as the branches receive nourishment from the vine to produce fruit, so we need to receive nourishment through prayer and Bible reading, so we are prepared to make a positive impact on those around us. Jesus wants to be our power source. James 5:16b says, "The prayer of a righteous man is powerful and effective." We have two opportunities for our church family to intentionally focus on strengthening their prayer life. The first is a 30-day prayer challenge. We are asking each person to commit to at least 5 minutes each day of deliberate, focused prayer time following the Acts format, meaning A, adoration, praising God for who he is, C, confession, admitting our failures, T, thanksgiving, praising God for all he has done, and S, supplication, bringing him our needs. Philippians 4, 6, and 7 says, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. It would be so exciting to have 100% participation, then see and or possibly hear how God is moving and working in all of our lives as we focus on drawing close to him. We have these bare trees up here that we would love to see filled with a leaf. Write your name on it and attach it to a tree. You keep the attached Acts card as a reminder with instructions on how to pray as God has taught us. Whether you consider yourself a seasoned prayer warrior or just a beginner, we want everyone to participate. Teenagers, senior adults, young adults, parents with their children. Psalms 145:18 says, the Lord is near to all who call on him, to all who call on him in truth. The second opportunity to participate will involve an interactive 48-hour prayer room. We will construct a room where you will move from station to station, praising, giving thanks, praying for our church, world missions, our community, state and world leaders, while engaging the senses of sight, sound, smell, and taste. There will be a praise wall, area for confession, communion, prayer request wall. You will be amazed at how quickly an hour will pass as you submerge yourself in prayer in the presence of the Almighty God. The dates for the prayer room will be January 10th through 12th. You will be asked to fill 1 hour blocks of time to have 48 hours of continuous prayer. Please stop by our table and see Sue Griffiths, who has already been excitedly researching and planning in anticipation for the prayer room, and she will assist you in finding the perfect time slot. There will also be a sign-up sheet if you're interested in planning, designing, or building the prayer room. Now, who would be willing to accept the 30-day challenge as the first step? If you would take your leaf off the attached card there, there are pens on the tables, and write your name on it. And at this time, if you're willing to come up and place your name on the tree, we'd love to fill our trees up. If your leaf falls off, we will reattach them after service. We do have some more stickies. That appears to be happening. The leaves are falling. There, stick them in. Stick them in the tree. Improvise. We'll reattach. You're just being difficult, Doreen. We'll stick it under. Yep, we will reattach. How exciting to see our trees filling up with leaves and the prayers that will be lifted to God over the next 30 days. Thank you for all who participated. And if you didn't have a chance to and you decide that you want to join, this will be up after service also. And Stacy Case will be up with Stepping Into the Church next.
As most of you know, last year we decided to switch up our trunk or treat and instead do something a little bit different with what we're calling a bridging in event, the treat trail. We had a really, really great first year. We were able to transform the church property into a really cool Candyland Wonderland with the lights and decorations, a bonfire, food, and a huge trick or treat path for the kids. The turnout was really awesome. We had over 300 people come. And so for a first-year event, we were really, really excited about that. The feedback that we received from the people who came and those of you who volunteered was really positive and encouraging, and so we're pretty excited to host our second one here in a few days. This is one of those events that requires lots and lots of volunteers to make it successful, and I just want to say thank you to everybody who participated last year and those of you who have already dedicated your time and your energy this year. And I especially want to thank those of you who came out yesterday to help set up the trail, because that is not a small job, and there's really no way we could do it without you. I'd also like to mention that there is still time to sign up this year, as Halloween is here on Thursday. So right now, we are really, really short on candy stations. I think we have like 6 or 7 spots that still need to be filled. This is a really, really fun event, so if you would please consider helping out with this. We really need people. I promise it's easy. You just show up with some warm clothes, a chair, and some candy to hand out. We have extra tents, so if that was an issue, we've got you covered. If you're unable to do that, there are still other areas that we need some help with, so just please check out in the foyer at our sign-up station. It was so cool that we were able to have people here on our church grounds last year that we might not normally get to interact with. Some of the goals that we had for this event were to reach unchurched families with children and to start fostering loving relationships with the people here in our community. And we really felt like we were able to get to know some of our neighbors that we wouldn't have normally gotten to. And so we wanted to find a way to continue encouraging these positive relationships with a second event this spring.
Travel on, there's one day here and the next day gone. Sometimes you bend, sometimes you stand, sometimes you turn your back to the wind. There's a world outside every darkened door where blues won't haunt you anymore. Where the brave are free and lovers soar, come ride with me to the distant shore. We don't hesitate to break down the garden gate. There's not much time left today.
Thanks, guys, for your help. So this new event that we'll be hosting in the spring will be called Touch a Truck. And the basic gist of this is that we'll be bringing in some awesome vehicles, maybe a little bit bigger than the ones you see here. Think fire trucks, police cars, tractors, off-road vehicles, boats. The possibilities are kind of endless on this, and basically we'll have a day where kids can come and check out these things that they often get to see at a distance, up close and personal, and they'll be able to check them out and touch them and sit in them. And this event has some really cool outreach components to it, because not only will we be able to invite our neighbors with kids onto our property again, but we'll also be able to invite our friends who have cool toys to show off who might not be a part of a church, as well as getting to interact with some of the other members of our community, such as our first responders. So we really want you to be thinking of someone that you could invite to either participate in bringing a vehicle or a cool toy, or someone with kids who might be interested in attending. If you have any questions or ideas, please see Jessica, as she's the one that's coordinating this project. Next up is Sarah Richmond. She's doing the Bridging Out initiative, Stepping Into the World.
Thank you, children, for showing me up. I can't really top that. It's awesome. On Saturday, September 29th, our church stepped out into the world and onto the campus of World of Wonder in Fenton. 114 people, at last count, packed into the music room for service that morning. After service, we overwhelmed the World of Wonder staff with the amount of food that can be consumed by some hungry Nazarenes. We blew breakers and cranked out food faster than they were prepared for, but they did it. They kept up. That wasn't the only thing that amazed the World of Wonder staff that day, though. See, when service began, the rain began to fall. In my head, I imagined people filing out of service, filling their bellies with some pancakes, and out the door and onto their couches because you can't work in the rain. That's what was in my head. I couldn't have been more wrong. Our church got out there in the pouring down rain and began to work. This is what we were able to do in one rainy, cold day. Place a new xylophone that was built, install a rock climbing wall, a boat dock, a sensory path, all with, in my opinion, minimal tests of faith. We were able to help organize the community room and sort the donation room. We even got books organized and ready to check out in the library. The Lord used the people in our church in a mighty way that day, in a way that will have a lasting impact on the community for years to come. Oh, I almost read it. It says read email. Let me read an email from Linda Mora. Okay. Sarah, can't even begin to tell you how grateful we are for all you have been doing for our school. The kids have already began to use and enjoy the equipment that we placed. Your congregation certainly walks their talk and makes their commitment visible. So I just wanted to let you know that they continue to, yeah. I should have actually given you she sends out a monthly newsletter, and there was a huge piece in there on our church and what we did and pictures and how the kids are using it all. I can definitely show that to you if you want, because it's pretty awesome. It was really unexpected. I was just, I have a child there, and I was perusing through, and I'm like, hey, there we are. So that was really cool. But hold on, now I got to go back to my other thing here. Okay, read email, did that. I would like to thank everyone who showed up that day, who was there, who donated monetarily, who prayed, those who convinced their boss to let them bring equipment out to help us because we would have never gotten it done, and those who just put in serious elbow grease, right, Kanan? That's what Kanan calls it, it's elbow grease. So I could have never imagined that we would get everything that we got done finished that day. I'd like to show you a slideshow now. It's a recap of the day and the projects that we were able to complete and items from the World of Wonder wish list.
Build your kingdom here, let the darkness clear, show your mighty hand, heal our streets and land, set your church on fire, win this nation back, change the atmosphere, build your kingdom here, we pray. Come set your rule and reign in our hearts again. Increase in us, we pray. Unveil why.
We're looking for a second opportunity to bridge out to our community and praying for guidance as far as what direction we'll be led in. We have a sign-up sheet in the foyer for next year's Bridging Out initiative and a place to share possible ideas for stepping out into the world. Did you need to say
before
something?
Before she introduces the next and the last one to come, we just wanted to thank Sarah for heading this project up. She did a great job, and Rob as well. He was her sidekick. And so just a thank you from us. And yeah, you did a great job.
Thank you so much.
And I realize you had help, but that was a big project. Yeah. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Okay. Up next, drum roll please. Initiative 5, stepping into celebration, Jeff Cornell.
Well, God sighting is where I purposely look for God. I've got my God sighting manual here with me. Hope everybody has their God sighting manual. It's important that we have that with us. And God's sighting is, I'm purposely looking for God. And I've heard this is amazing flock. And if I want to see God at work, this is a great place to be looking for God. And we've already seen a bunch of slides and heard many stories about how God has been sighted in our church already. We've had World of Wonder, VBS, Picnic at the Playground. I've heard stories that that's been an awesome experience for a lot of people that's happened over the summer. But let me see if I can come up with some other examples that maybe you haven't heard or it's just been a while since you've heard about them. You know, I think, I look around, I see some people here today that they're here because their neighbor was willing to take a loaf of Panera bread and bring it over to them and just share God's love through a simple loaf of bread. And that's pretty awesome ministry. If you're wanting to get involved in that, please see one of our pastors. They would love to hook you up with that ministry, I'm sure. And let's see, is there anybody else? Well, I see Abigail Wright. And you know, for show and tell, she wanted to take her favorite Bible story to school so she could share Jesus with her friends. I think that's a pretty awesome God sighting right there. And let's see, over here we've got Lowell Lehner, and I see some teens out there that went with him. They went with him went out shopping one night to bless a random shopper with a gift of money. You know, that might not sound like much, but God led them to an individual that had been trying to teach her young children that even though they didn't have much, they could take some of their toys and give them away to people that are in more need than them. And then they were able to bless her and give her a gift of money, which just solidified the fact to her that she could additionally teach her children that there are people out there that are willing to just give because it's, you know, just showing the heart of God to other people. And let's see. Oh, there in the back. What an awesome God story I see back there. Dave Gauthier. Do you guys know about Dave Gauthier? Dave was diagnosed with cancer. He's had the majority of his tongue removed and other parts of his mouth. But Dave is here worshiping with us cancer-free today. That's a God story right there. Dave, I don't know, is there anything you'd like to share with us about your story? And
so yeah, last August, I apologize, I have a pen popping, but I was diagnosed with stage 4 cancer. A pretty rough diagnosis. It was something the doctors had initially dismissed as I didn't smoke from food tobacco. I had no family history. So it had progressed to the point where it had gotten pretty bad. And fortunately, though, the doctor that I had gone to actually knew probably one of the best doctors in the world, has located right here in Michigan, in terms of this kind of surgery, and she involved him, his nurse, and set up an appointment. And before I left her office on the day I was diagnosed, I had a phone call from his nurse saying that we wanted to see me the following morning. And I went down there, and they were very eager to get me in. Like I said, they wanted to see me the following morning. That Saturday, I actually had a PET scan, and over the next week, I had all the rest of the testing done, the CT scans, and ultrasounds that were done, because I had to pull about 12 inches out of my leg for a graft to do a flap, and luckily I made it through that 15-hour surgery. I had that 4-piece removed, over half of my tongue. 76 lymph nodes on my neck, and it was a rough 9 days, first 9 days in the hospital. I had a lot of trouble with that, but I was able to get through it, and I credit God to have the connection to the right doctors to be able to have the surgeon that I had to do this, Dr. Ramirez, who is actually a follower of Christ, and his nurse. I know he doesn't have to use Christians, but in this case he did, and they took very good care of me, made it through all the radiation and chemotherapy. I've had the 4-implant spine for my teeth that were removed, continue to do well. I'm having trouble. I still have trouble swallowing food. I did find out last week that they will probably do another surgery to try to do some more reconstruction at some point. But I really do. I'm very thankful for the path that Christ laid out to put me on a path to basically being healed. And without that, I know I wouldn't be here today.
Thank you, Dave. And we want to continue to pray for Dave as he's continuing to heal and recover. Let me share just one more God sighting story, and I don't know if very many of the church know about this one, but we've all heard about the big all-church, or the whole church group together and went and celebrated and worked at World of Wonder. But we have smaller groups in this church. They're community groups. And if you're not hooked up in a community group, I really encourage you to do that. We get together weekly, and we dive into God's Word and go a little deeper sometimes in what we can even do on Sunday mornings. But our community groups have been stepping out into the community as well. And we had our Wednesday night group, coupled together with one of our Sunday morning groups, decided we're going to go to a local restaurant and just bless a waitress. And these people in the groups have been praying that God would lead them and have a waitress come to them that really needed a blessing from the Lord. And I think the group came up with just over 150% tip to give to her. And when we gave her the tip, she allowed us to have a prayer with her, even though that she was extremely busy. She took a couple of minutes. We were able to have prayer with her. And she shared a little bit of her story. And this is where the real blessing came. Her husband had just passed away within the last year. And she'd been struggling to raise two teenage boys. I don't think that was a coincidence that God led that waitress to be our waitress that night. And she was just overwhelmed with the blessing that God presented her with that night. Let me share a couple of scriptures with you. Psalms 118:24. The Lord has done it this very day. Let us rejoice and be glad. And then a verse from the story of Legion. And if you remember the story of Legion, he was the man that was possessed with many demons. And after Christ had removed the demons from him, Legion was so excited that he wanted to follow Christ and go with him everywhere he went. But in Mark 5:19, we see Jesus' response to him. Jesus didn't let him go with him and follow him. He told him to go home to your own people and tell how much the Lord has done for you and how he has had mercy on you. He's with us. He's in us, and he's working among us. And I have found that if you're looking for God, and you're searching for him, and you're keeping your thoughts on him, there's a lot less room for Satan to come in and attack. So, and this is what we're wanting from everybody. This is our big ask right here. We want everyone that's here, it doesn't matter how old you are, to take time to be God-siders. And then once you've got that sighting and that God story, we want you to be able to share those stories. And it might be just as simple as sharing it with one of the pastors or sharing it in a Sunday school class, which is another group that it's an awesome spot where you can get involved and plugged into this church and really grow closer to the Lord. Get into a Sunday school class or one of the community groups that I've talked about and share it with them. And the other opportunity, the ushers are passing out these little pamphlets. They've got some leaves stuck to them, and it says God sightings on it. There's a box in the back. Pastor Ron's grabbing it right now. That's for the God sightings. We'd like you to write your God sightings down on these leaves and deposit it in that box. And when we have the 48 hours of prayer, we're going to have these leaves put up. And it'll just, everybody will be able to look at them and see what God has been doing. And it'll be a time for praise and celebration at that point where people can just see how God has been working. And then also, at least once a month, and I have a feeling it might go into a little more than once a month, we want to share some of these stories either through a church email or in the newsletter. Or maybe we'll take a video clip and post a video of somebody sharing their story up here. Or you can just get up here and share it, like I'm sharing. And it's just a time for the whole church to step into celebration and see how God is working among us. And that will just encourage all of us to keep going and searching for God everywhere around us. So thank you very much, church.
Towards 2020, we want to have a 2020 vision. Amen? We want to step into the story of God for our hearts and our lives. We want to step into His heart through prayer, step into His story through getting into the Scriptures. And so take one of the bookmarks and take the 30-day prayer challenge that was given out to you and sign up for an hour in the prayer room and all of those kinds of things. But when I think about stepping into God's heart, and I think about stepping into the story of God for our lives, there's just a couple of images that come to me from Scripture. There's many that we could share, but two images that come to me. One is the image of new creation. Isaiah, the prophet in Isaiah 43, verse 19, he said, "Behold, God is doing a new thing. Forget the former things, because God is about to do a new thing." Do you perceive it? Do you perceive that God is about to do something brand new? And then I'm reminded of the Apostle Paul in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. Where there he's just been talking about how when Christ has died, and therefore all have died. Those who have come to know Christ have also, in a sense, died to their sin, died to their old self. And therefore, Christ's love now compels them. And so he's speaking about those that he's writing to in Corinth, but also it applies to us. That when we die to our old self and our sin, we're reborn into a brand new life and to a brand new journey. And just a few verses later, Paul writes these words. Behold, he says this, the old is gone and the new has come. And he says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, they're a new creation. And so I'm reminded today that he wants to do a new work in us. He wants to bring about a brand new creation in you. Here's the thing. When we become a new creature in Christ, we've now stepped into his story. Amen? When we've left our old life behind and walked into his story, it's no longer our own story. It becomes the story of God at work in us. So this puzzle, it's not just about you learning some scriptures. It's about getting the deep story of God into your heart and life. It's about becoming a brand new creation in Christ, taking a brand new journey with him. And this idea of prayer and a prayer room and 30-day challenge is to get us into the very heart of God for our lives as we allow our hearts and lives to be consumed with what compels God and what draws God to build bridges to us through the love of Christ. And so therefore, we can now become bridge builders to those around us. And so this morning, we're going to close in a unique way. We're going to take communion. But before we take communion together, I'm reminded of a second image. Not only are we new creatures in Christ, and that's how we step into his story, but we also become those who are a part of a new kingdom, the kingdom of God. It's no longer our kingdom or our kingdoms, but it's his kingdom that we walk into. And And so when we find ourselves walking into the midst of the scriptures, what we find is that God has a kingdom, and he calls us into it. And it's no longer our kingdom, it's his kingdom. And so we begin to bridge to one another out of the love of Christ. And this year we're going to do some initiatives that you didn't hear about to help each other bridge to one another in love, doing the one another's together and loving each other in Christ. When we step into God's story and we gain his heart through prayer, we desire to build bridges so that people can come to know Christ and come to his church. And when we do that, when we step into his heart and into his story, we want to build bridges out like we did to the world of wonder. And we will be doing in other ways in the coming year in community groups, building bridges like we did to that waitress this year. And there are many other stories untold. I don't know about you, but I get excited about that. And I want to tell you, as I came to this Sunday morning, I thought, wow, you know, maybe people will just yawn when we talk about getting into his story. They'll say, well, I know the Bible. Yeah, I know we're supposed to read scripture. But my prayer is you'll understand this morning that so many Christians today are living different stories. There's a lot of folks coming to church, and we can talk a good game, but are we really living out the story of Jesus? Are we letting his story be lived out in us and among us? Do we really have the heart of God? And I want to challenge every single one of us. Wouldn't it be amazing next year if we were to step deeper into the story of God and became bridge builders who become disciples of Jesus Christ, Christ-like disciples who build bridges everywhere we go, not only inside the church, but outside the church, and that his love is shared through us. The Apostle Paul in 2 Corinthians 5 talks about not only that we become new creations in Christ, that the old is gone and the new has come, that we enter into this new kingdom of God, but he continues and says that we now become ambassadors for Christ, spreading the very aroma of Christ in our world. I don't know about you, but that's what I want to be a part of. Amen? And so as we come to the close of this time together, my prayer is that you will sign up, and it won't just be a sign up. It'll be, I want to go deep into God's heart. I want to become a part of his story. I can't think of any way, and that's why we're ending with communion, even though you're going to have a big turkey dinner. We're going to end with communion today because this is our story, and this is our song, and this is the kingdom, because it's through the power of the cross that we come to Jesus Christ and we die to our sin, let him forgive us of our sin, and he draws us into a brand new story where he can be formed in us. And you know, we take that bread and we eat it. But when you eat the bread today, I want you to think about the fact that Jesus Christ wants to be formed in you and among us as his body of Christ. He desires for us to become his body. And so I'm going to ask Pastor Joe if he would come and if he would assist me this morning as we prepare to receive communion today. And we're going to ask that you might come up the center aisles in just a moment. And communion this morning is open to all who really know Jesus Christ as their Savior. You don't have to be a Nazarene, a part of the Church of the Nazarene. You can be a part of any faith tradition that professes Jesus Christ as Savior this morning. But we want to call you to come. And by taking the bread and the cup, we're reminded of the death of Jesus Christ for our sins. But we're also reminded this is more than just remembering. This is also taking in the very presence of Jesus Christ, that he might be all in all to us, and that he might draw us into his heart and into his story so that his story becomes our story. Yeah, it looks like we have a little congestion, but we'll make our way around it, won't we? Would you stand as we prepare to close our service? I know it's gone a little long today with some of the presentations, but I hope that you've been a little bit entertained along the way. But I also hope this morning that you get the deep impact. And we don't want you to feel compelled that you must take communion today, but we want you to be welcome to do that, no matter who you are. Even if it's the first time you've taken communion, we invite you. And if you don't know Christ and that story in your life, it's very simple to ask Jesus Christ to come into your heart, ask him to forgive you of your sins and come into your life, and you can come and take communion and say, this is what it means that Jesus Christ died for me, and I want his story to be written on my heart, and I want my heart to be like his heart. Amen.